Welcome into this Monday edition of ESPN FC on ESPN Plus. I'm Sebastian Salazar. I'm going to be joined in just a little bit by Craig Burley, Don Hutchison, and Julian Laurent. We'll also hear from Gab Marcotti with the latest transfer rumors, including a report that Barcelona and Juventus could be close on a huge swap deal, plus big news out of the Premier League, clubs set to return to training, albeit in small groups, as early as tomorrow. But we begin in the Bundesliga, final match of the weekend. Bayer Leverkusen 4-1 winners over Werder Bremen, a brace from Kai Havertz, and Leverkusen now just 1 point behind Leipzig for that final Champions League spot in Germany. Again, Havertz, the star of the show, with 2 goals. Craig, Don, Jules, good to have you with us. Don, I'll start with you. That was pretty much one-way traffic for Bayer Leverkusen, and Kai Havertz was pretty much running that one-way traffic.
Do you know what, Seb? There's certain players, when you watch them, you just know they are too good for the club that they're playing for. He was head and shoulders above everyone else on the pitch, not just his goals, but his vision, his touch. He was very, very good. I mean, this is a Leverkusen side under Peter Bosch that are bringing some fantastic young players in. I mean, Florian Wirtz, who played on the right-hand side, he was only 17. Leon Bailey coming through. Paulinho only at 19. But the diamond, the jewel in the crown, has to be Kai Havertz. He's a sensational talent.
Jules, how close do you think Havertz is to that big move? Linked to some pretty big clubs. Most recently, Liverpool seems to be getting a lot of runs.
I think before the pandemic, we would all have said that it would happen this summer. Now that the situation is what it is right now and clubs won't have as much money as they would have had before the pandemic, I wonder what's going to happen to Kai Havertz, simply because you would think a player like him, how he's aged with the talent that he is, and like Don said, he's incredible talent, really, that can play in so many positions as well on your pitch. You would expect easily 100 million euros for that. But who can really afford that right now? Even not Bayern Munich. Or maybe Bayern have the money, but would they go for that this summer right now with everything that's been happening? I'm not so sure. Does that mean that he would have to stay another year and then maybe the following summer he'll be able to get the big move that really he wants and deserves as well, and I'm sure looking forward to as well, because he's far too good for Leverkusen? Or maybe he will have to go at a lower price and that Leverkusen would have to cut the losses and said, you know what? Yes, we said to him that he could leave in the summer 2020. That was all before everything that's happened. So we will have to let him go, and maybe that would just be 50 or 60 million euros.
Craig, specifically Liverpool, do you think Havertz would be a good fit?
I think he'd be a good fit wherever he would go. And I think, you know, Bayern Munich would be looking for a player like that as well. Predominantly because, for the reason Don mentioned, he can play in so many different positions. He's got so many strings to his bow. Today he was the front man for Bayer Leverkusen. But we know he can play in behind. We know he can play deeper. We know he can play wide if so need be. Look at the goals he scored today in terms of the headers. That physicality as well as the talent would be a great asset for any club. If you look at that Liverpool front three, it's not the most physical. Yes, Roberto Firmino will get his share of headed goals, but really he's not a big threat in there. Neither are Sadio Mane or Mo Salah, for obvious reasons. So he would bring so many different things to that Liverpool side, apart from the vision, apart from the talent. You saw today his physicality, albeit against a Werder Bremen side that have really struggled from set pieces. The marking was poor, but he took full advantage. And yeah, as Jules said, it may have to be another year at Bayer Leverkusen, like an Erling Haaland at Dortmund. He makes the right move to the right club to get that game time to progress. And it may be that he has to sit tight for a year to 18 months until that right move and the right money for Leverkusen comes along.
Don, Michael Ballack has suggested that he should stay, Havertz, at Leverkusen for another year. Based on what you said just a few minutes ago, I'm guessing you disagree.
Well, I do disagree, but in uncertain times, like Jules said there, there's probably not a lot of teams that could go and just spend £100 million cash on players. I think he's far too good for Leverkusen. There's stories running in the papers in the UK today that even Barcelona are trying to make a trade with 3 of their players. That's how highly they rate him. So I think he goes to the very biggest clubs in Europe, and I think he walks into most sides. He's certainly obviously got a fight for his place, but the talent's there. It's 20 years of age. And so in the UK press today, they've said and they've mentioned Ballack, and he's a little bit of a clone of Ballack. I disagree. I think he's totally different. The one player I would liken him to is a taller, faster version than Mesut Ozil. I think he plays obviously off the left-hand side through the middle, as Craig said, but he's predominantly left-footed. He's very silky, easy on the eye. So again, yes, Liverpool would be a great fit, but even Barcelona rate him that highly, they are willing to trade 3 players for him.
Jules, it's his fourth full season, you know, at the top flight level. How come you think we don't hear more of this kid, especially in terms of that elite class? When people talk about the Erling Haalands, the Jadon Sanchos, he doesn't seem to generate as much, at least press.
No, you're right, and it's maybe because Bayer Leverkusen haven't done as well in Europe than a Bayern Munich or a Borussia Dortmund even this season. And also because last season, he was, 2 years ago, he was fantastic. And really, you could see, and he was only, 18 at the time, going on to 19. And he was fantastic that season. And then last year, I think he had a bit of a dip, probably because of the season he had 2 years ago, and he was not as good and not as prolific. And he had a bit of injuries as well, and he looked tired at times, and that was a bit more difficult. But this season, he's back to his best, really. And I think maybe the lack of appreciation, especially outside of Germany, not so much in Germany, but I think outside, is maybe because in Europe, things so far hadn't really gone that well for him and for Leverkusen. However, in this year's Europa League, he's been fantastic so far. And whenever the Europa League goes back, I think you'd have to watch for him and for Bayer Leverkusen in the rounds to come.
Guys, let's switch gears a little bit. Mauricio Pochettino, his gardening time is over. Now free to sign with another club. Don, your dream of Pochettino going to Newcastle now that much closer.
Yeah, and it is a dream, and it's what I'm trying to imagine happening. He'd have all the big hitters after him. I can imagine Barcelona are probably going to think about making the change soon, even though I think Xavi might be the perfect fit to go there. I'm not sure I'm buying the job that Hansi Flick's done. So I think for Newcastle fans, they've got aspirations of, you know, a top manager coming in, and it has to start with a manager. I've been, you know, reading the press in England, and it's mentioned Coutinho, it's mentioned Gareth Bale, it's mentioned Koulibaly. The first man that has to come through the door for Newcastle has to be a top-class manager. You get Pochettino through the door at Newcastle and then give him money to spend, I'm pretty sure he brings in or tries to bring in the top players across Europe.
Craig, who needs Pochettino the most?
Well, he's not going to Bayern because Hansi Flick signed a new contract, and rightly so, off the back of his sterling work during the season after the sacking of Kovac. So clearly there's not going to be a change there. You know, Barcelona, the man himself, Pochettino, has said he wouldn't manage Barcelona because of his Espanyol ties. Now, that can change with an offer, but I don't know. I mean, I think that's a kind of silly position to put yourself in. And I imagine he might reverse that decision given an opportunity. But clearly, you know, Newcastle, if they're interested in him, are going to have a heck of a sell on to get him in there, because he knows he could be sitting tight for one of the big jobs, even though we are not quite sure what's going to be around at the moment. And Newcastle, as good a club and as big a club as it is, is a difficult sell, because he spent time at Tottenham, he had a great time at Tottenham, but he had to build that up over 5 years with relative resources. And he's going to have to do all that again if he goes to a Newcastle with who knows what amount of money, depending on this takeover. So it's a sit and wait for Mauricio Pochettino, but if Newcastle were to get him, and I think that is a huge if, it would be a great coup for that club, clearly.
Jules, where does your gut tell you he'll end up?
Well, I just think the market for managers this summer will be surely very different, like for players, to be fair, very different than anything before. And if you're a club and you still have a manager, even if you don't really want him anymore, a bit like PSG and Thomas Tuchel, but he still has 1 year, 2 years, 3 years on his contract. If you sack him now, it will cost you a lot of money that you maybe don't have right now. And same for his staff. So maybe you need to look into clubs whose managers are out of contract this summer. A club like AC Milan, for example, won't have to sack Stefano Pioli because it will be out of contract in the summer. And maybe they could go for Pochettino maybe, or try to get him, although Ralf Rangnick seems to have at least a foot in the house already. But so it'd be difficult. And I think Newcastle, it will all be down to what kind of project they can offer him, because we know that Pochettino will choose very, very carefully the next club he will go to. And as we know as well, he's a manager with a lot of ambition, big ambitions as well. And he might maybe wait for something a little bit bigger than Newcastle, except if Newcastle really put him on the plate, a project that is hard to say no to.
All right, guys, one final bit of news then. The Scottish Premiership has called the rest of its season. Celtic, champions for a ninth time in a row. They were 13 points clear of Rangers. Meanwhile, Hearts have been relegated. They have threatened legal action.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social Security. Is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Gentlemen, we got another Monday. That means another Premier League meeting. This time, clubs voting unanimously even to begin training in small groups. That'll start on Tuesday. A statement calling it a first step towards restarting, though no start date for actual Premier League fixtures has been announced. Jules, maybe not the ultimate news fans were hoping for, but still seems significant.
Completely. Very true. Sebi, significant in the sense that finally training will be starting again tomorrow in small groups, so not the full squad together at the same time on the same pitch, but groups of four or five players together with social distancing, but you can still pass the ball to each other, for example, which was not the case before, which was not allowed before. No contact, obviously, even if you do a 2v2, for example, you can't go into contact, and again, you need to respect social distancing, but it's a very important first step or next step, if you want, towards resuming football in England with the Premier League. You're right, there's been no date discussed, but that was not really the aim of today's meeting. Today was about returning to training first. Of course, they discussed maybe if mid-June is still possible or realistic to go back, and I think that's the idea, and it's very much the idea after today. But it was very important that everybody agreed that tomorrow training in small groups could go again.
Don, will folks in England be happy to see this progress or perhaps frustrated compared to what they saw this weekend in the Bundesliga?
No, I think everyone in the UK took the Bundesliga with tremendous joy. I think it was great to have football back on our screens. You watch competitive football. The standard was very, very good considering the players haven't trained and played competitive matches for 10 weeks. So I think the Premier League, obviously, we're watching on with keen eyes. And I think it's great news. I've had the meeting today and we're only at phase one, which is absolutely fine. And Jules said there about, you know, the protocols that's going to be in place. So that's good. Hopefully that goes all well and we can move on to phase two next week. But I think the players and I think everyone in general in the UK are so glad that there's competitive football back.
Craig, Mr. Positivity, good news, huh?
Yeah, and I think, you know, the Bundesliga was a little bit of a blueprint for people to sit back and watch. And it seems, as we speak now, that everything went pretty well in Germany. Look, you know, if they can get this week out of the way with no close contact training in small groups, ramp up the testing, who knows where we'll be next week. You know, maybe be able to ramp that up a little bit more, you know, get larger group training. And there has been a tentative date, or talked about, around about the weekend of the 12th or the 13th of June. Now, that's coming quite quickly. Now, Steve Bruce, the Newcastle manager, he was talking about the end of June, which I think is too far away, but maybe we could split the difference somewhere. And at least this is a start for the players. But as I say, it will come down to how many tests can they produce, how often can they do it, and is anybody going to be coming down with this this virus? If that happens, that could really mean it's one step forward and two steps back. But at least we have something to hold on to in England at the moment.
Don, what about the players in the Premier League that have expressed concerns? You think they saw what happened this past weekend in the Bundesliga and those concerns be put to rest?
I think so. Not 100%. There'll always be a case where someone doesn't want to play if they're scared for their health or their family, which is, you know, which is inevitable, really. And it's something that you've just got to hold your hands up and say, look, it's one of these where every individual case, you have to treat it as that. I think the majority, the texts I was getting from players and coaches still in the game were watching the Bundesliga, as I was, on Saturday and Sunday, and they were loving the football being back. I think it's only a matter of time before the Premier League comes back. I think, in my opinion, it won't be June the 12th. I think maybe that's a tad ambitious, but why not aim for that? And if everything goes well, maybe it's the 12th, but I would probably be thinking it would probably be the 19th, the week later. But as I said, the texts I was getting from players and coaches still in the game, they were really loving life that there was the Bundesliga was on at the weekend. And I think it'll give the players appetite, the players that were watching, especially the fans. They're just desperate for any sort of football. But the players in the Premier League that would have been watching on, I would have thought their appetite to come back will be even stronger and even greater.
Well, it'd be a surprise to know I wasn't getting any texts and messages from any players in the Premier League, Don. Obviously.
Well, me and Julian was. I mean, me and Julian were, you know, getting loads of texts here, there, and everywhere. So,
well, I try not to fraternise.
From Frank, from your good buddy Frank.
I try not to fraternise with these egotistical players these days. But the interesting thing is, and you and I talked about this, Don, last week, we're kind of old school. Asked the question, would you go back and play? The answer from you and I was a categoric yes. And I think that will be in the course, mainly what the decision will be for most players. But we can't, and I don't think anybody who decides, if there are any, that they don't want to take that risk, they cannot be castigated because everyone is different. Now, we see it as, yeah, we'll go, we'll play, put our name down. But everyone has a different fear. It's like getting on a plane. Some people go on a plane, it's not even, you know, don't even give it a thought. Others get on a flight, have to strap their cell in because they're horrified, they're petrified. And so, if there are any players out there, big name players, that don't want to play, you know, I think it's going to be difficult to say, well, they're only thinking about themselves, because in that scenario, you've got to think, you do have to think about yourself and your family and your extended family. And that can only be a personal decision, not a club decision.
But I think they have to be convinced, though, Craig, didn't they? I think the players have to be convinced. You know, reading between the lines what was happening in the Bundesliga in Germany at the weekend, the players were obviously at a hotel the night before the game and there wasn't any other people in that hotel. It was just the member of staff. So they were free to sort of roam in and around the hotel and do their own thing, as long as obviously they didn't leave the hotel. And then on the way to the game, they went in their own cars. They didn't get showered together. They got back in their cars. So there's a protocol in place where you could see it working. It is going to be different. It is going to take some getting used to. I was watching the games at the weekend, like you guys, and I found it bizarre as I was watching the substitutes sitting behind the dugout in the stand with masks on. Then I was watching Haaland score his first goal and he's dancing in the corner, not celebrating. Yet there's players grappling at corners and free kicks. So it is just going to be a little bit brand new and it's going to be different and it's going to be strange on the eye for everyone watching. But as I said, you know, we've got football back and I bet everyone, I think 99% of, you know, people that love football are so glad that it's back.
Agreed. The Premier League set to return to training in small groups then on Tuesday. A reminder, you can get us your questions for Extra Time. We've had some interesting topics on Extra Time of late, including Shaka's ESPN FC intelligence power rankings. You'll never end up who guess ends up at the bottom. You can find it on our YouTube channel.
Given that Barcelona will almost certainly sign Lautaro Martinez this summer, then of course you would think, wouldn't you, that the big number nine signing is done for them for a good few years.
Okay, gentlemen, that's Sid on yesterday's show talking about Erling Haaland and how it makes more sense for him to potentially move to Real Madrid instead of Barcelona, since Lautaro Martinez seems earmarked for Barcelona. But this is what La Liga president Javier Tebas had to say about potential transfers. Quote, clubs are going to have to look at their academies and come up with a strategy to reduce salaries. There's no other solution. Transfers that exceed financial limits will not be allowed. Impossible. Gab Marcotti joins us on the show now. And Gab, I'll start with you. The reality that Tebas is speaking about seems very different than the reality in which Lautaro Martinez could move to Barcelona. What gives?
Well, look, Lautaro Martinez has a price tag. He has a clause. I think it's pretty much an open secret. It's an open secret that Lionel Messi has talked about Lautaro Martinez. It's an open secret that there's no games in La Liga right now. And so people are trying to work on this. And, you know, it's kind of weird if you cover the transfer market that, you know, every day, Barcelona is linked with the same players over and over again. There's no other club in Europe which is receiving the same kind of market attention as Barcelona. I think the reality is it's a numbers game. The only way I think that they can think of signing Lautaro Martinez is if they raise cash elsewhere by selling somebody. And it has to be somebody who's a saleable asset. And in the current market, there aren't very many people like that. Barcelona's books aren't particularly good right now. And I think that's the challenge. And that's what Tebas is referring to.
Jules, how difficult do you think it would be for Barcelona to pull something like this off given the current climate?
Well, I think it's difficult if they cannot pay the 110 million euros release clause, which we know now they cannot, even if they offload some of their current players. However, I still think they can do Lautaro, but that's probably the only thing they would be able to do. That's the only transfer they would be able to do this summer. They would only be able to do one big move, and that could be Lautaro, for example, for 60 million plus a player or two as a swap for Inter Milan, and I think that would be it. Because I think what Tebas was saying as well is that if you want to keep all your squad and add someone like Lautaro, someone like Neymar, or in case of Real Madrid, Paul Pogba and Erling Haaland or Kylian Mbappe, you won't be able to do, because your wage bill is already enormous. You already have a lot of players on your books, and you can't just go out and spend 200 million, 300 million that you don't have anywhere. Even before the pandemic, you didn't have that money. So even less now. And I think that's what he meant in the case, like, you won't be able to do any crazy stuff. The only thing that you'll be able to do is because you have thought about them. Like Gab said, you got rid of some players, you made some money available, and then you went and maybe did one big move, and that's it.
Speaking of swap deals, speaking of Barcelona, this from the front page of Sport, reporting what would be a massive swap deal. Miralem Pjanic and Mattia De Siglio plus 25 million euros going to Barcelona. Nelson Semedo then would be making his way to Turin. This is in Spain being reported as almost a done deal, but Gab, sounds like there's some pretty serious pushback in Italy.
Yeah, look, this actually all stems the other way. It stems from the fact that Maurizio Sarri really likes Artur at Barcelona. And if you remember, the original version of the story, which has been rumbling on and on and on, was the Artur for Pjanic swap. The difficulty there, and this is the problem with swaps, you know, you kind of have to come up with these Tetris-like arrangements to go and make them work, is that, you know, the numbers simply don't line up in terms of contracts. Now, Pjanic, I think it's an open secret, he would jump at the chance to go to Barcelona. Equally, Juventus want to rebuild their midfield, but you have to find guys willing to go the other way. A guy like De Siglio is always very, very convenient. That's why he gets linked to every single swap deal. I mean, Jules will remember he was linked to PSG recently as well. I forget if it was for Kurzawa or who it was. These are all just accounting games. There'll be one guy that people want, and then other people that they need to throw in to make the swap work. Because I don't think there's much liquidity here at all. Pjanic would like to go. I think I think Setien would like Pjanic, but equally, he's certainly not a priority for Barcelona. And I think any kind of swap like this is one of those, you know, book balancing swaps where, you know, it all becomes about amortization and not much else. So I don't think this is going to happen, certainly not on those terms.
Jules, we've talked about Pjanic to Barcelona on this show. You've not been a big fan of it. What do you think of this swap deal?
I mean, again, I agree with everything Gab just said. It doesn't make any sense for me. Although, on paper, if you look at it, if Barca get rid of Nelson Semedo, who, let's be honest, has potential but hasn't really worked out at Barcelona since he arrived, but again, Pjanic and 25 million and De Siglio, not that I'm a big fan of De Siglio either or that I rate him, but it's still, that would be a very good deal for Barcelona. However, I just think they already have so many midfielders, and if you think about how much money Nelson Semedo is on right now, so they get rid of that wages from their books, but then Pjanic is easily twice as expensive in terms of wages than Semedo is, and De Siglio on top of that as well. What you wanted to do, which was reduce your wage bill, is actually the other way around now, because your wage bill is even bigger if Pjanic and De Siglio arrives against Semedo than it was before.
Right, one last thing real quick. Mino Raiola making headlines, talking about Erling Haaland and specifically why Haaland didn't end up at Juventus. Here's the quote he gave La Repubblica. Quote, why didn't Haaland move to Juventus? They would have put him in their under-23 squad. Okay, Gab, surely this is an exaggeration, right? Juventus are not actually that stuck in their ways.
No, look, things are changing slowly. You're seeing some clubs put more trust in young players. You've seen it at clubs like Roma. You've seen it a little bit at Milan. But the reality is there is still this perception that, you know, you have to go and earn your stripes. You have to go and, you know, you have to come along slowly. The clubs in Italy are terrified by this old school idea that if you throw a youngster in too soon and he does badly and gets criticized, it destroys his confidence. If there's one thing we learned from Haaland, at the weekend, he showed it again, but we saw it before, is this guy doesn't lack confidence. He can have a stinker and he doesn't care. He just comes back the next time around. And I think football has changed a little bit. Attitudes have changed a little bit, even in Italy. And more youngsters are being given a chance at an earlier age. I think that's what Mino Raiola is referring to. And I think Mino likes to speak in exaggerations. I think his point is a very valid one. I do agree with you, though, Sebi. If Haaland had landed at Juve, I'm sure they would have found room for him.
All right, plenty more from Gab and Jules on their podcast. Latest edition dropped today. They're joined by Jan Arga. Fewer talk. Make sure to check it out over on the website.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Napa Know How.
Father's Day knickknacks. That funny mug, ironic tie, or worse, IOU coupon books. It's time to get yourself something you want, Dad, like a Craftsman half-inch corded impact wrench for $99.99. It's the perfect gift to give to yourself. And while you're here, don't forget to shop all our great deals on Craftsman tools. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer ends 6/30/20.
Right now, over on the ESPN FC YouTube channel, you can check out the latest installment in our FC quiz series. It's a Ronaldo versus Messi feature. Sid Lowe and Ale Moreno are your contestants. And just like the rivalry, this one came down to the wire. I believe it's the first FC quiz to go to extra time.
I'm going to ask you a question. And whoever shouts out the correct answer first is the winner.
And it's Messi or Ronaldo.
Yes, sorry, Mom, no. Just shout now. Messi! Ronaldo!
No, it's a question about one of those players.
Oh, crikey. Here we go then.
Which Barcelona coach gave Lionel Messi his debut?
Rijkaard.
Is the correct answer.
Wait a second. What, you're supposed to finish the question. What kind of quiz is this?
What do you mean? That's the question.
No, you didn't even finish the question.
What, do you want me to just write a question mark?
No, he answered before the question was over.
The question was over. It was done.
No, he said Riker before the question was over. You cannot bust in before the question is over.
Of course you can. That's a risky thing.
Ali, go and destroy your house now. That's it. Thank you very much.
Come on.
Well done, Sid.
Wow. Okay. So a very, very controversial ending in our latest installment of the FC quiz show. No surprise to anyone that Ale Moreno is the one who leaves upset. All right. A warm thank you to all those who participated in today's show. Craig Burley, Don Hutchison, Julian Laron, and Gab Marcotti. Right now, stay tuned. Extra Time is up next with Don and Shaka Hislop. Hey there, everybody. Welcome into a Monday edition of Extra Time here on ESPN FC. That laugh belongs to the one and only Shaka Hislop. We got Don Hutchison, too, and we have your questions to get through. First one up comes from Nick Nazmin. Hey there, Seb. All right, Nick, I like that. First things first, Dan never pronounces my name. How hard can it be? Well, we just tried it. Shaka, a goalkeeper must have good reflexes. Do you have and still have good reflexes in other aspects of life? I would imagine a non-goalkeeper can never react as quickly as a goalie. Shaka?
I never had great reflexes, I guess. So I can't lose what I never had. So that takes care of that part. That was a long old question. I can barely remember. What other aspects of life do you need quick reflexes in?
This aspect of life would probably help to have quick reflexes, yeah?
I'm trying to figure out why I need quick reflexes. Anyway, I guess goalkeepers train to have quick reflexes, so I guess we have by nature of the position and our training, I have better reflexes than Don. I'm comfortable in saying that. I'm not sure why that's a plus at this stage of my life. Oh, you know it, Don.
Listen, when I'm in the garden, Shaka, when I'm in the garden, I drop a tool in the garden or drop a little bit of fruit in the kitchen, my reactions are sharp.
Somehow, I don't doubt that you pick fruit up off your kitchen floor a lot quicker than I do.
All right, our next question comes for Shaka from Frank McManaman. Obviously, who is the better player, Dwight York, Robbie Fowler, or Andy Cole?
Ooh. Not that I'm biased at all, but I'd go with Dwight York all day, every day. What kind of question is that, Frank McManaman? Listen, let's take nothing away from Andy Cole and his record. Robbie Fowler is one of the best finishers the game has seen. But listen, if you're spending big money, you spend it on Dwight York. Who wouldn't?
All right, I thought that question was pretty obviously for Shaka. This one, pretty obviously not for Shaka. What was your favorite player of cleats to wear in a match, Don?
Oh, cleats. I mean, I'm guessing that means strip in English. It would have to be...
No,
it's your boots. It's your boots.
Sorry, boots. Your boots.
Boots, I didn't know what that meant. I thought cleats was like a strip. Boots,
Don't you speak American, John?
Adidas, World Cup 82s. They were the holy grail of football boots.
Shaka, you agree?
Yeah, Don's right. I mean, the Copa Mundials were without question the standout cleats of the time, and still the preferred boot well of old schoolers like me and Don. They don't come any simpler or any better.
Old schoolers like you and Don, right. Okay, if you could buy one attacker, who would it be? Jadon Sancho or Erling Haaland? A tough either or. Don, you get first crack at it.
Oh, wow. What a question that is. I would have to say I'd probably go for Haaland, you know. I'm a massive Sancho fan. I think that kid's going to go right to the very top. But I just love everything about Haaland. I love his arrogance. I like the size of him. He's 6'2". He's got a frame like Ronaldo. He's fearless. He's ruthless in front of goal. He's finished at the weekend. It was like a veteran's finish. He allowed it to come across his body and just guide it into the corner. Tough question, but I would just lean towards Haaland.
Hutchison does not rate Jadon Sancho. Shaka, do you?
Yeah, that's what I heard. I'll disagree with Don in one thing. In saying, I didn't think it was that tough a question. I go with Haaland all day, every day. Give him the choice, money no object, and you have to... You can only buy one of the two, or you start by buying one of the two. I wouldn't blink twice. It's Haaland.
Don, for you, was there ever a player you did not like for whatever reason, and then they became your teammate eventually?
Oof. Oh, yes. There was a guy who used to play left back for Tottenham, and he went to Ipswich called Tirico. He was a little Argentinian, and he was horrible. He used to nip you, he used to sort of punch you at set plays. He was terrible. He used to give you verbal abuse. He was tiny. He was only about 5'6", so little man syndrome. Then all of a sudden, he rocked up at West Ham. I'm not sure if he was there when Shaka was there, but he rocked up at West Ham in the dressing room, and he was hilarious. He was a brilliant teammate. One to have on your side, but terrible to play against.
A little man syndrome reference on the show, and it wasn't about me or Dan. Put that down in the record books. Don. Yeah,
but you're not sensitive at
Don,
all.
Don, yeah, here's
you're not
this
sensitive
one.
At all, are you?
No. Actually, if you check Dan's Twitter, he recently acknowledged that I am 5'9". I would just like that to also go down in the record.
Shaka,
Don, for you.
Paranoia on the show tonight. I have no idea why.
Neither do I,
no. It has nothing to do with being locked up for 2 months. No. Don, if all the nations within Great Britain were to form a combined national team, we see that in the Olympics sometimes, and could compete internationally, would they have won the 2018 World Cup?
Good question. I would probably say no. I still think they would be slightly behind. There's some terrific nations. I thought Croatia were going to go on and win the World Cup. I thought they were brilliant. They had a terrific tournament. I think England stroke UK are certainly getting closer, but still a little way to go, in my opinion.
Stevie's throw-in coach providing our next question. Don, if you could choose With which player would you like to switch shirts if you played these days? Craig recently told us about a shirt switch with Alan Shearer on the show.
Okay, that's not bad. That's quite high. I've got Shearer. It's from an England-Scotland game. Today, it's the Messi-Ronaldo debate again, isn't it? It's terrible. I'd probably just have to say Messi because people rank Leo Messi as the greatest of all time, and I have him very, very close. But my allegiance is with Diego Maradona, and I'm finding it very, very hard to try and sway towards Messi. So I'm sticking with Maradona, the greatest of all time. But shirt swap, I go with Leo Messi.
Shaka, we know you wouldn't have a Messi jersey, right?
Oh, I'd have it all day long. What are you talking about, Seb? Stop trying to instigate all kinds of abuse from me on this show, please.
Me?
Instigate? Yes, you.
No.
Yes, you. There you go. But I'm with Don. I'm with Don that one. If I had to go with one shirt only, I'd go with Messi as well.
Fair enough. Final question from Tom Boss. Shaka's beard or Don's mustache?
No.
Shaka,
that's easy.
Out?
What kind of question is that? I'll have anything over Don's mustache. Look at that.
What?
Goodness me.
Shaka, I'll have you know, this has took 4.5 weeks to cultivate. It's beautiful.
It's 4.5 weeks ruined. You could have been picking up stuff in the garden during that 4.5 weeks.
What else are you going to do?
Don, I would suggest that the word cultivate is very generous for what's happening on your face.
I'd like to see you two try. I'd like to see the little man with the tash.
Oh, no, that he can't.
All right, that's the next challenge.
No, that is not a challenge.
Okay.
Seb is not growing anything, please.
I'm certainly not growing taller. We've established that on the show. All right, the boys will be back on tomorrow's edition of ESPN FC. Make sure you catch it. Until then, we'll see you next time.